Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio. We're in the studio with Adriana, Janelle, Miss Tara, myself, and we are still on the road to Emmaus with Jesus. It's a great journey. We are in Luke 24, 13 through 49, and Miss Janelle is going to tell us the story.
Yeah, so let's sum up. This is on the same day that the tomb was found empty, and the women reported that they'd seen the angels. And that day, there were two people going on the road to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And they were discussing and talking about all these reports of Jesus. And while they were talking, Jesus himself came up and drew near to them, but he made himself hidden from them so that they didn't recognize him. So then he said, "What are you guys talking about? What's this conversation you have?" And they just looked at him dumbfounded and said, "Are you the only person who doesn't know what's been happening these last few days?" And he said, "Well, what things? Enlighten me." I'm like, "Well, of course, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the man who was the prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And then also how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned and crucified. We had hoped that he'd be the one to redeem Israel. But now, besides all of this, 3 days have happened, and some women came and completely amazed us. They told us that the tomb is empty, and that they saw angels, and that he's alive. And some of us who were with us went to the tomb and found that it was just as they had said, but they didn't see him. And so Jesus said to them, "Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all the things that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And so he began in the beginning with Moses and the prophets, and he interpreted to them all of the scriptures concerning himself. And so as they drew near to the village that they were headed to, he pretended as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "No, stay with us, for it's evening and the day is spent." And so he went in to stay with them. And while he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. At that moment, they recognized him. Their eyes were opened, but then he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us?" So then they rose and went right back to Jerusalem and found the 11, and they were still gathered together. And they said, "The Lord has indeed risen, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told all of the 11 what had happened on the road and how it became known to them because Jesus broke the bread. And when they were saying all of these things, Jesus came again and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened. They thought they saw a spirit. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why are your doubts still arising in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And even though they believed, they were in joy and were marveling. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" So they gave him some fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all of the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are now witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high."
I love it. I love this passage. Just love hearing it. And I don't know, every time I sit and listen, there's something new that stands out. But as we're going through and looking at it, this time I want us to sit on Cleopas, and we can focus on the companion. You know, two times ago, we talked about the fact that, you know, I've always assumed it was two men, but one commentator said it could have been his wife because it was staying at their home, and never thought of that before. But I want us to focus in on the exact words of what Cleopas uses to describe Jesus and see the things that they saw as Jesus was walking on this earth. And so what are some of the words that he uses in this passage? When he's telling Jesus all about what's happening.
Prophet.
A prophet. Okay, what else?
He's mighty in deed and word before God and people.
Powerful, mighty in deed.
Highly regarded by God.
Highly regarded by God and?
And all the people.
Okay. And then he describes how the religious leaders murder him, mm-hmm. kill him. And, all right, so as we're looking at these things, okay, a prophet is what?
Someone who speaks the word of God to the people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to say that somebody is mighty in word and deed, that's wow. Like, mm-hmm. literally, that when their words are spoken, it's pretty amazing, and their actions are pretty amazing.
I'm talking about the miracles they saw.
Right, right. And that it was before not just man, but it also included God. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of Luke 2:52, where Scripture says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Mm-hmm. It's actually a proof of the fulfillment of that verse, you know, when Cleopas is describing it. And I didn't see any commentators make that connection, but for me, that is like the clearest connection of the fulfillment is here is a testimony of somebody saying what was said of Jesus when he was young, 11-ish, mm-hmm. when he was in the temple, is being said of him teaching. After his mm-hmm. resurrection.
Yeah.
But we had mentioned earlier in this, I think the first one, about hope. Mm-hmm. And so here they see a mighty messenger, a powerful person that speaks and acts well, and he's honoring God, he honors people, and they see all of this incredible hope. And then all of a sudden it says, but, you know, the religious leaders and chief priests, they killed him. And then all of a sudden we see hope be lost. Well, Cornerstone Commentary said something that I wrote down and I thought, wow, that's kind of something we needed to sit and dwell on. They said faith at this point slipped into past tense. And I thought, wow, that happens. Like, we can in a moment have mm-hmm. faith, and then all of a sudden, it can go past tense, okay? And so, but the religious leaders, you know, they lost all hope. So my question that I wanted to ask us is, where in my life do I allow my faith to slip into past tense?
I think it's when you take your eyes off of Jesus and onto your circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Or your doubts
uh-huh.
that come in.
Yeah. Yeah. Allowing my faith.
And we know who that's from.
I know. And just think on it, how quickly we can move from, oh, he's this, he's mm-hmm. this, he's this, and resonating with, and I'm always focusing in on, this is something that is like core in my being. I focus in on God's character mm-hmm. and his promises. And God's character and his promises do not change.
Right.
When it comes to people and circumstances, and I don't understand, I will then examine character.
Yeah.
And then by examining the character, it helps me to know how to respond.
That's good.
It just, because I can trust what I know about a person's character being revealed, just as I can trust what I know about God's character.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have my focus on his character and not on the people or the circumstances, my faith doesn't go past mm-hmm. tense. It stays present tense. It's when I get my faith focused on the wrong things. And that is at that moment, then Jesus rebukes.
Yes.
Because he sees that faith had slipped. Up to that point, he was listing everything true, you know, and his heart was, do you see? And then once he got to the place where the faith began to slip, that's where Jesus intervened, and he said,
Foolish
man, mm-hmm. you know, foolish one, why do you allow your hearts to unbelieve and remain in, you know, misunderstanding? Okay, lack of understanding. And so being willing to listen when that rebuke comes, and that's when he gives us the fulfillment of proclaiming scripture. And I wrote down some of them that they believed Jesus would have used. And so I thought, well, let's go ahead and let's read them. Let's see what they kind of assumed. Deuteronomy 18, 15, and 18. So if you could do those two, Adriana. Deuteronomy 18, 15, and 18. And Janelle, I'm going to ask you to read, let's just do, because it gives pretty much Isaiah 52, 13 through Isaiah 53, 12. We won't read the whole thing because we've done that multiple times before. Janelle, would you go and skim and just quickly pick the one that references Messiah?
Okay. In Isaiah 53?
Uh-huh. Okay. You start with 2 and just 3. And then, Sandy, I would like for you to do Psalm 22. And I will pull up Zechariah 13:7. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look to see what commentators thought he would have proclaimed, as in the ones that would have been pointing to him as the Messiah. And it's just so beautiful how Scripture always supports Scripture. Mm-hmm. And, okay, who's got their verse? You may go ahead and
start. You want me to read the whole Psalm 22?
How long is it? How many verses? Do you know if it's long? No.
It is long. It is 31.
Just go in and I want you to skim and pull one on the Messiah. Okay, do you have yours, Adriana?
Yep,
go ahead.
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among them for your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. And then also Deuteronomy 18:18 is, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him.
Hmm. Okay, so the prophet that he's raising up, so he would have talked about the prophet being raised up. All right, Zechariah 13:7 says, sword, awake against my shepherd, against the man who is my associate. This is the declaration of the Lord. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. I will also turn my hand against the little ones. So here it's referring to the fact that as the shepherd, he's going to be removed among them and struck down. Okay. Do you guys have your verses up? It's okay if you...
You know, on Psalm 22, it's you know, experiences agony on the cross, evil men cast lots, his thirst while on the cross, he will declare God's name.
Mm, that's good.
I'm looking for, you know, that's pretty much what...
It's referencing.
Yeah.
Okay. And Isaiah 53:5, I know it says, by his wounds we'll be healed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's where Jesus is saying the fact that when he comes back and he meets with them once they're all together, he says, you know, for repentance.
Mm-hmm. And forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And so...
And that's so important because he does put repentance first.
Well...
And then forgiveness,
right,
you know.
Sure.
But some people don't realize.
You have to repent before you get forgiveness.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. It's dealt with. Do you have it?
Yeah, I'm not finding the actual word Messiah in my translation, yeah. So that's
okay,
why
it's
I'm
okay.
Slower
all right,
here.
Well, I did the Isaiah 53:5, yeah. So we can stay on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we have what they think could have been. And the verses that he may have used, and he would have used the whole passages, but mm-hmm. to read, these are long chapters, we won't do them all. And they listed way more. And it's just powerful how, once again, we're emphasizing the importance of knowing the Word of God, being able to proclaim the Word of God, that Jesus used it to help unbelief and lack of understanding. And so the importance of us doing that. And how to guard ourselves from falling into past tense in our faith. So the next word I really wanted us to look at was the word that they say, because he stopped it at 24:21 when he says, we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Mm-hmm. And besides all this, it's the third day since this all happened. Well, the word redeem is the Greek lutro, L-U-T-R-O. It only appears here and in Titus and in 1 Peter in two verses. So I'm going to have us look those up. Adriana, would you do Titus 2:14? And Sandy, would you look up 1 Peter 1:18? And so we're going to look at the two verses for redeemed in Greek. And then in the Septuagint, the Hebrew is galal, which means to be set free or to redeem. And it's rooted out of the story of Exodus, where God's redeeming the nation of Israel out of slavery. And so, Janelle, would you do Exodus 6:6?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's about the process of ransom that he's given us, and it's the price to gain the freedom of a slave. And in Luke, he sees Israel as in captivity, just as they had been in the time of Exodus, and sending John and Jesus, God repeats the miracle of Exodus, is what Luke is emphasizing, and that he's paid the ransom price, he's freed us from our slavery, again, it's not the military might, it is the spiritual redemption of the cross and paying the price for our sins. Okay, so go ahead, Adriana, on the Titus 2 and 14.
Okay, for the Titus 2, 14 verse, it's basically a little bit of the background in the chapter. They're talking about, like, the grace of God and all that and how Jesus is that grace of God. So verse 14 starts, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works.
Mm. Okay. Go ahead, Sandy.
Okay, mine is 1 Peter 16,
I 118.
Believe. 118. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go through it. 4 to 20, I think. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him for this purpose long before the world began, but now in these final days he was sent to the earth for all to see, and he did this for you.
Mm. Good. Okay. And now the emphasis that it comes from Exodus 6:6.
Okay. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment.
Mm. Okay, so this is where it stems from. And when the first Peter, it says to pay the ransom, to remove us from the empty life, mm-hmm. using the words from Sandy's translation, and then from Adriana's, for the purpose of purifying us for good works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the whole point. And that's why he ends the passage with saying, and now you are my witnesses mm-hmm. that will do this for all nations starting from Jerusalem. And that supports then, you know, in Acts 1:8 where it's, you know, you're my witness to be my witnesses into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the mm-hmm. outermost parts of the world.
Like to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to go. And it's incredible how so much scripture supports scripture. And so we've been emphasizing that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. And so if we take the New Testament, we will always see how it brings it to completion. And the redemption that he gives us, the guard we have to have is that we want to make sure that we don't allow our faith to slip into past mm-hmm. tense. Once we have believed what Jesus has done. And so keeping our eyes focused on that which will help our belief and our understanding. And the only way that's going to happen is if we use the scriptures. We can use our stories, and our stories help support what God's doing in our lives, but it's the Word of God that gives us the ability to see and burns within us to testify to what he has done in our behalf. So glad that you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We thank you so much for listening. And we also just wanted to say thank you to the Open Door Mission for being our sponsor and to those that are the donors that make this possible. You can contact us at tararye.com or cultivatinghearts.org or through the opendoormission.org. God bless.